Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, and welcome to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with the French contingency, straight from Revol Porcelain, which is over 200-year-old company, 1789, if I'm correct, right?
Yes.
I did a little bit of research. 11 generations, family-owned, handmade porcelain out of France. It's kind of an amazing thing, and in this day and age, when we take a lot of the table setting for granted, this has been an institution in you know, France, and if not the world. And today I have Anne and Tanaya of Revol, who are trying to make a humongous push in the U.S. to make it part of everybody's household, of every chef's repertoire in restaurants. And I, for one, would love to see that happen, see the revolution. Well, thank you both for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. So, it's really interesting to see a company that has, you know, kind of done so much throughout the ages, changed its design, but never changed what it's done. How did Revol start?
Revol started in 1789, as you said. It's a family-owned business, so I guess it started, you know, with two brothers finding some kaolin, which is the main material to make a very white porcelain. So it started with them in the southeast of France, near Lyon, where they found this particular material and they found a way to make some porcelain. So here they are, and the factory started there and is still there right now with 11 generation of the same family now running the company.
Well, kaolin, what does it look like? I mean, when you run across a deposit of it, you're not like, oh, that's perfect, I'm going to make some porcelain. Was it something that the family was seeking out? Was it a really prevalent thing in France? I know, you know, people call it China clay, or, you know, yeah, it existed in Chinese culture a lot. When did it really start in French culture?
Well, it started about the same time, and you have different areas in France where you can find it. And it has been a very long research in the UK and in France, especially for making that particular ceramic. You know, Revol porcelain has not been always white like it is right now. It's been a long process, and at the beginning it was more like blue. And the company is in a very small town called Saint-Us. And in this town, they were very famous for the blue of Saint-Us, they called, and it's a kind of a blue porcelain that evolved right now to what it is.
Awesome. So, this kaolin, I want to talk more about the process, too, because I'm sure you have to go in and educate people a little bit about porcelain. So, Naya, what is your spiel? What do you tell a customer what Revol is made of?
Well, usually people are asking what's the difference. What makes porcelain different from earthenware or the kind of ceramics? So I start saying that porcelain is part of the ceramic family and is one of the best, mainly because it's white, as we already said, but also because it's absolutely non-porous. So that means that in terms of food techniques and usage for every day, it's much better to have a material that doesn't absorb any bacteria, any fat, any odor. So in terms of, I would say, quality, you're on the top rank of the ceramics. So that makes it more also durable. This porcelain is it's hired at very high temperature. So in terms of defects, you reach a level of, I would like to say perfection.
Yeah, you're allowed to say perfection. And not just because you work for the company. I mean, I've been using Revel for a little bit of time now, and it's so amazing and multifaceted. And this is not an advertisement. This is not a paid show. I'm truly impressed by the product, and that's why you two are on. And I'm intrigued about, you know, why it's not in more kitchens, why it's not considered a Le Creuset and Meal Henri, if it's been around for so many years.
Well, there's another thing that I would like to add about the process, and that I think is very important for the identity of the company, is that a lot of part of the process are handmade. There's a real know-how, and every single piece is finished by hand. This is something that is making Revel's reputation, for sure, but it's also something that gives you a guarantee that you get something that's pretty unique, even if it's an industrial process. And this is very important to the chefs, and this is probably very important also to you in your kitchen when you cook something, to know that you have a piece, you know, that has been made in some place that is very special, with people very responsible and aware of what they're doing and really trying to make the best of it.
Well, let's talk about that place. I've never been to Lyon. Mm-hmm. I've never been, what is it, Saint-Uzy?
Saint-Uzy. Mm-hmm.
Saint-Uzy. Mm-hmm. Tell me about what that is. I kind of know it as far as wine regions, maybe like Beaujolais a little to the mm-hmm, east and
yes.
Languedoc-Roussillon's to the mm-hmm. south. Where is it in France,
it's
really?
In the middle of the grapes, in the middle of the mountains. No, I remember the Saint-Uzy the first time I went there. It was in September, and then I came back in winter, and the last time I was there was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was summer, and the landscape changes so much. So basically, you go from Lyon or either Valence, it's between those two cities. So you go towards the south of Lyon, and first is, you know, just highway, and you go through the Rhône Valley, which is this very known, famous wine place. And then you go up to a mountain, and you have all the, how do you call it, the wheel?
The mills.
Mills. And then suddenly you're down in the mountains, and you see like a little small town, and you see a little like white dot, and someone tells you this is Revel.
You mean you... Yeah. Again, being handmade, you have about 200 people that work at that factory. I mean, yeah. that has been such a part of that town.
Oh, it is all of the town.
Yeah.
Like, basically, everyone living in the town is working at the factory. I think without the factory, this town wouldn't be on the map.
Yeah.
So that's also something very special.
I mean, let's talk about specs, too. The amount of product that's actually made there. And we're talking
one
about...
One every 2 seconds.
I can't even believe it. Like, I can't do something that quickly, anything that quickly. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I feel like a lot of people, and that's what people don't realize, and it comes back to the question you were asking before about what makes Revel special. People don't realize that a crumpled tumbler, that it's one of our signature pieces, well, especially on the retail side, all the processes are made by hand. A lot of people think that it comes into a machine like a clay and it goes out on the other machine already, like made and colored. And you wouldn't guess how many steps out there. And those women just glazing the cups with their hands, and the gesture is beautiful. And if you would like to try to do it yourself, you couldn't, because you need to have that know-how of just the gesture and everything. So, I mean, all those little things are, you know, are very unique.
So what do we see in the factory? Because I think the majority of what Americans know about ceramics, it comes from the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore. So I know the terms like slip casting, jollying, but I don't know exactly what they are.
We do them all. There's different machines for different type of productions, and there's hollowware that are made differently with something a little bit more flat. And I think the factory, the very interesting thing in the factory is that you have this double speed kind of process. There's some robots that are very like high technology, very performant to make things very fast. And next to that, you still have one person that is like finishing every single part of the piece coming out of this robot. So it's like
two words
yeah.
like getting together, because the company is basically growing, so we have to meet the customer's needs and increase the production, but at the same time we keep people to, you know, finish those pieces. And so you have like both words.
And when you visit the factory, you also in the products, you see products that have been made there for hundreds of years, a ramekin, a lion soup head bowl. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years of the same product. And then next to it, you have a product that's maybe like probably, I don't know, 6 years old, 2 years old. And those products are, you know, sold in the same market. And that makes us, you know, different from, you know, other, I would say, vendors, manufacturers.
So I know the Crumble Cups. And in doing a little bit more research, I found out that Revol actually made the Ricard jug.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm a huge loucher. You know, I drink a lot of Ricard, especially recent Bastille Day. But there are so many things like the cocottes, the tagines that they've been making for ages. Do you think Revol has actually kind of shaped the way a lot of bakeware and dinnerware has become and existed in the world?
Absolutely. I think they started a lot in the French bistro, so all the crouettes and butter dish, the butter block, you know, the Parisian butter block, the ramekin for your soufflé or your crème brûlée dish. This is all like a very traditional French bistro style, and this is where Revol started. And we started with branded, as you said, like Ricard, like branded products for advertising and things like that, and some basic items that you see everywhere in every single restaurant and worldwide, to some very unique and special pieces that we have right now. So it's like a long history.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
And
to think
it evolved so fast.
Yeah. So I mean, let's talk about some of those newer products. Let's talk about the Crumple Cup revolution before we talk about revolution. What was that concept? It's such a kind of stray away from the traditional idea, and it adds a little bit of an artistic, you know, slant to what dinnerware can be.
Yeah, the Crumple Cup is the ultimate recyclable cup, plastic cup that you would throw away and never, you know, look back again. And the idea was to do, like, why don't we just make this into porcelain? And it was kind of a crazy idea, but I think the idea was great. And today a lot of people try to copy the idea. But Revol was the only one to have this, you know, fun thing of saying, let's have some sense of humor, let's be whimsical, and let's do something that you put on your table and you can be sure that people are going to talk about it, take it, try it, and be like, oh, this is feels so comfortable, this is so fun, what is it? And then you have, you know, bigger sizes as the champagne size, which is also really fun. So I think it's just surprising, its design, and I think it says a lot about Revol's state of mind and way of thinking.
And, you know, you talk about these two worlds, this very automated one where you have, you know, certain machines and robots that do certain things, but that most everything's finished by hand. It gives you this ability to make something like a crumpled cup. You know, you're not stuck with some kind of mold. Are there other forms, other dishes, other plates that Revol's exploring right now?
Yeah, totally. You have the round plate that everybody will use. And then this is a frame for doing a lot of different food. The chef knows that. They have imagination for anything. But then when they come to a little cocotte, a crumple cup, or different type of shapes out of the traditional round plate, then suddenly their imagination is going even faster and they always can picture new things to put in there. And the crumple cups, I think, started to grow when people understood that, you know, it's not just a cup. You can put your fries in there. You can also bake a muffin in there. You can do so many other things that, oh, finally it becomes an everyday tool for your kitchen that will be different with your traditional plate.
Well, we're actually going to do a little giveaway. And we have, what, two sets of four crumple cups each. And if you're listening, please email info@heritageradionetwork.org and we'll pick two winners at random and send those along to you. And you can let your imagination run wild. We're going to give you a little bit of imagination when we come back and talk about some of the dishes that you guys have seen on Revelware throughout the years and the innovative chefs and even home cooks that have been using this product. You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. We'll be right back.
The International Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Hey, and welcome back to the Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Michael Harlan Turkel here today with Annan Tanaya. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay, because I saw you guys look at each other the first time, and it's like, it's all right.
No, you're good.
Question, can I give out your email addresses on air? Because I feel like part of the education is you know, being able to have a person to answer.
Sure.
All right, so I'm gonna do that right now. It's Anne Vallette, so it's A-N-N-E. .VALETTE at revel-usa.com. And Tanaya is just Tanaya at revel. That's REVOL-USA.com. Because I want people to be able to have some connection to this product too. And, you know, it's such a huge catalog. I mean, it's absurd. How many different pieces does Revel make?
Well, I think in the catalog we have at least 1,000 to 1,500 different SKUs. And then there's new lines coming every year and products that disappear. We keep the molds so we can do them again. But yeah, definitely there's like products coming back and forth.
So, I mean, talking about new products, you know, I'd be amiss if we didn't talk about the black porcelain.
Yes.
You know, it went from blue to white. And now why is the basalt so important to Revel's line?
I think basalt was daring, but it was so smart, because with black you can do so many things. And I mean, basalt is definitely a piece that you would think it's slate, but once you know it's porcelain, and once you know you can put it in the oven, dishwasher, microwave, and everything, the durability of it and the safety of the product, it just makes it so different. And you know, I personally use it. I think that's one of the collections I use the most, because I live in Brooklyn in a small apartment. I entertain a lot. I do parties. I can cook like a seated meal for my friends. So I just do a little, you know, cheese and charcuterie and little like, funky stuff. And I have my whole basalt, and I take it out, and it looks nice. And even if your food is not that awesome, it looks really nice. So, and then for the chefs, I think it's a very breakthrough as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about imagination. What are some of the dishes that have just blown you away? I mean, obviously, French fries in a crumpled cup is cool, but there must have been things that you just couldn't have even dreamed of.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, chefs are so good at doing that, at surprising you with a new menu or a new tasting, and we're lucky enough to be the ones tasting them. And so I've seen incredible things with basalt, because the colors just pop up. So whatever, if you use fruits or any veggies, it's just looking so well. And when chef really knows how to design a plate, it's so beautiful. I think the beauty of basalt is for a chef is also that you know, they can put their food directly on it, and that's something that they cannot do with a regular slate that would absorb maybe you know, the fat and the smells and so on. So for hygienic reason, they have to do something else. And the black has not always been great, because it's usually a white porcelain, and then you glaze a black color on it. And basalt is black all the way through. It's a black clay, because Revel is able to make its own clay, color the clay itself. So it makes the product very different. I think in terms of dishes that surprise me, I think Revolution has been one of the most surprising items. There's a chef in New York, actually, who designed a smoked salmon, a very small piece inside the Revolution cocotte, and then he smoked it. So when you remove the lid, then you have all this smoke coming out, but the fish is so soft. It was awesome.
And let's talk about Revolution, because I have a piece at my house, and it looks like it, you know, it's white and has a very cool white lid, but you can get in tons of different colors, yellow, red. You'd think, well, French porcelain, I'm going to do cassoulet. And you're talking about a very New York thing, almost, a smoked fish. You know, it's so Ashkenazi. I mean, it must blow in your mind seeing how people interpret this, because it's not your traditional, and I don't mean to slam these companies because I have utmost respect and love them too, but, you know, Le Creuset, I feel like people only cook certain things in Le Creuset. You know, same with Emile Henry. They bake, you know, certain things in Emile Henry. You're trying to allow anybody to do anything in Rivol. Yeah. So what are some other really fascinating ideas that you've seen in your, you know, serviceware?
Well, I don't know. For me, we always try to say that revolution is the kind of piece that you're going to buy once, but you're going to use every day. And one of the women I was telling that when she was next to me, she's like, oh, yeah, I use my revolution every morning. I do my oatmeal on it because it was small enough and it was quick and it would, like, stay warm. And I thought that was funny because, you know, who would do an oatmeal in porcelain? But she was like, this is the perfect. And you can make your pasta and you can make your, you know, bacon on it. I mean, it's really an everyday use.
And so that's totally different with what a French person would do. And we sell Rivol products in 84 countries.
Yeah.
So you can imagine that there's many, many options.
Well, let's take a little trip around the world, too. So what do you see happen with Rivol in France? What do you see, you know, people do in China? What do you see people do in other countries?
It's very funny how different culture will adopt different lines and different designs and different textures. I think basalt has been a worldwide success, but there's still, you know, some area where it's stronger. Northern Europe, for instance, is doing a lot of the basalt, especially for the fish. The U.S. is taking off so fast, but maybe in some other countries there will be another line. Like in Asia, they, you know, their portions are different. They do more food to share. They do a lot of round by culture, and Rivol has a lot of different shapes, so it's maybe harder. And then the cocotte is very French and very traditional food, but there's maybe some countries where French food has not been so popular. So in Spain, we'll use some very small little piece for tapas. In Italy, I think we do tons of the crumble cups because they do their espresso and ristretto in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like cultures are impacting so much what we actually make and also what we sell in different parts of the world.
Well, then how often do you get a chef or even a home cook, per se, that says, oh, I'd really love to see you do this and you've done that, you know, changed a line or changed a plate?
We do this all the time, I think. Every time we launch a new line, there's a few chefs, mostly in France, but sometimes in the U.S. too, who try the product. And then they will tell us, oh, there's this little detail that I think you should change. And we definitely follow what they say because they are the one using them. They are the one knowing what makes sense, you know, for functionality in the kitchen, for service, for everything. So.
But even among the company, I think that's also part of Rivol's philosophy, is that it's a very, like, sharing company. It's not like one person makes the whole every decision. So the ideas come from everyone. And even for me, like, I'm in the American market, so I see things that I need. Like, I need bigger things. I need, like, larger things. And I need a pie dish. And I need... So I go back to France and I tell them all those ideas. And I'm not saying everything is going to be made, but everyone brings its own little thing. And we build together, you know, a large collection, and then eventually I'll, you know, offer something that another market is going to be like, oh yeah, yeah, for the Russians that would be perfect. And it's just so it's really funny in during the meetings that we have, that everyone is like, no, but for my Korean people I think that this and then you have the Italian market that think, no, but for me, like, Italians will never do that. So it just feels, you know, it's interesting.
Well, I mean, you have Koreatown, you have a little Italy, you have all this in New York, so
yes.
I'm assuming you can test a lot of your line by, you know, bring it here. But let's take, for instance, Olivier. How do you pronounce his last name?
Passot, Olivier Passot.
Mm-hmm. He's been amazing to let you guys just run wild here. But when he comes to New York, where do you bring him the show Rivol in, you know, being functional in a restaurant?
Wow, that's a very good question, because we usually bring them to so many different places. They're so exhausted when they finish their trip.
Yeah.
It's all about eating and drinking, so they get ready.
Yeah,
they
get, not a bad
they
thing
even
at all.
They're exhausted.
But they're coming here to Williamsburg, you know, where they can find a lot of new ideas. We know that all the new concepts and are creating in this area a lot. Sometimes they're going to Midtown, where, you know, you get some more traditional upscale restaurants where you have those three macaron chefs and so on. So, yeah, we try to always mix and match different styles because New York is a small world on its own and you can definitely get so much inspiration for everywhere. I think they really take care of the U.S. market as a test market, probably the second one after France. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important for them that what we do is working properly for the U.S.
So, I, as a consumer, as a diner, where could I buy Revel? And then where can I experience it? What restaurants could I go to when they have the Revel line in action?
In New York?
Yeah.
Wow. You can go to Seasonal Restaurant. That's one of the most amazing one that I have been working with in Midtown. Wolfgang Ban is the chef, he's Australian. Then you could go to Marc Fogione, close to Battery Park. You can go to a lot of hotels. They have in the bar, you know, for snacks and for a little food to share. Hopefully soon we're going to be at the White Hotel.
Yeah.
We hope so.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's so many of them. Like, you know, Revel is the accent pieces. You may not see the entire setup in Revel, but there's always a piece here and there, a little butter dish, a little ramekin, a lionette ball, a cocotte, a lot of small accent pieces that just, you know, change the whole experience.
You can find it at the Barry Kitchen in Chelsea Market, Gracious Home. And if you go to the Hamptons, because I know it's the Hamptons period right now, Loaves and Fishes in Bridgehampton is a very nice store, and they have a lovely Revel assortment for the lovely houses that are over there.
So I love what you said before about being special every day, you know, and having this thing that isn't just regulated for, you know, a holiday or, you know, a special occasion, that they're functional, that they're, you know, not going to break, that they, you know, clean really well. How important is that mentality when you talk to people, that Revel isn't just this piece that you buy and you kind of use it here and there, that it actually should be a part of everyday life?
You know, for me, it's funny to see how when you go to stores, and I was at a show yesterday and this woman came to me and she has a little, she has a store in Illinois, and she was telling me, she was like, you know, I want to tell you that I've been, how did you say that? I've been educated my customers and I've been training them because I really love Revel, and now they're coming back and it's working and it's growing. So there was this whole like idea of when people buy a piece, they come back to the store and they're very loyal to it. And I loved what she said to me. And she's like, I love everything, but, you know, she has to be cautious because she has a little store and retailers sometimes struggle a little bit. But this fact of saying that, you know, she trusts this brand and she's giving this advice to her, you know, to the people to come into her store to say, okay, if you want to spend your money like wisely, you should spend it on something that is going to last and that you're going to use and you're going to enjoy, and it's going to cook evenly, you're going to like clean it every day. And, you know, this idea that family gathering in the evening and you're cooking for your family, you want it to look nice, you want people to have a nice time, so you want a nice, you know, dish to make the best food for your family and bring it to the table and have a nice... Is that this whole... I think there's a sentimental thing about it, but there's also, of course, the quality. And it's that combination of both, this professional thing, very technical, very professional, and the idea that you have all this 11 generation behind and the know-how and everything. So that's... Yeah, it's a little bit of both, I think.
Then what is your go-to dish? What do you make in your Revel at home? Because I know I made... Well, I went very traditional French, but not in flavor profile. I made mussels, you know. But what do you often find yourself making for guests, for family?
Well, I have the tagine at home, and I think it's very special because it's different with a regular dish that you would use. And a tagine kind of make you traveling a lot. You think about maybe North African dishes, tagines and couscous and things like that. And actually, you can use it for many things. So I use it for my vegetables. I use it for my duck confit, which is totally different with what they use it for. And I do some lamb too. I love lamb, so I definitely use it for that.
I use my crumple cups every day for drinking soy milk. I know it's weird, but I like drinking soy milk in my crumple cups.
Yeah.
And then my basalt, it's silly, but my counter, I don't have space on my kitchen, so I use my big plate of basalt as a counter. So I cut on it, I put my warm stuff on it, and then I, you know, the stove is next to it, and I know it's not going to break, and then eventually I'll put something, some bread in the oven. So, I've used it some, maybe not the way it should be used, but it's perfectly.
There are no ways it should be used. There's every way. And I just love that you reference using it as, you know, a countertop. You know, we're here in New York, we're in Brooklyn, and sometimes kitchens aren't the largest, and the idea of having something that you also have to put away into a cabinet is a little scary. So to have something that can be out and mm-hmm. be used every day too is a big plus, and you know, into, you know, purchasing a line for your kitchen.
Yeah.
Again, I can't say enough about the product, and we can keep on talking if you want to, but I think everyone should check out, and it's Revol, REVOL-USA.com.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah. And, you know, it's a young company in the U.S., these two right here are trying to, I'm not giving you their email address, bug them, trying to bring this into every, you know, kitchen, every restaurant, every household in the country. And you'll see why once you check it out.
Because, and you should follow us on Facebook as well, because we update, you know, news and pictures and recipes. And so that's another way to follow our.
Follow yes. the revolution. Excellent. Thank you both so much for being on. And now I have
so
to pick
welcome.
Up my next dish when I go home to cook in my Revol. You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We hope to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.